From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in. Well, members of Congress recently introduced a bill titled the Break Free from Plastic Act. It's a bill that, among other things, would establish a national law phasing out unnecessary single-use plastic products such as plastic carry-out bags and polystyrene foam food containers.
We'll speak with Christy Lovett, the Plastics Campaign Director with the nonprofit organization Oceana, about this bill, how it might work, and its chances for passage.
Christy, thank you for joining us this morning on This Green Earth.
Good morning to you both.
I thought we would start with just some of the numbers associated with how much plastic we here in this country generate. If I got it right, based on the press release from Oceana, it said, you say that scientists estimate that 33 billion pounds of plastic wash into the ocean every year. Is that just in this country or globally?
That is globally. So worldwide, you're exactly right. 33 billion pounds of plastic enter the ocean every year. And to give folks a sense of what that means, because that's a really big number, it's roughly equivalent to dumping two garbage trucks full of plastic into the ocean every single minute around the world.
Wow. So picture a garbage truck full of plastic, just drive it right into the ocean every minute. Two of them.
Every 30 seconds.
I want every 30 seconds. Thank you, Nell, for bringing that. That's unbelievable. And, of course, the U.S. probably makes its fair share of contribution to those trucks, of those trucks.
That is correct. So the U.S. definitely plays a significant role in global plastic pollution. According to a 2020 study, the U.S. generates more plastic waste than any other country around the world.
And this plastic waste has some significant impacts on marine mammals and other sea life. So tell us a little bit about that as well.
Sure. Marine animals are swallowing or becoming entangled in plastic that's going into the ocean. But worldwide and here in the U.S., Oceana did a report last year where we found nearly 1,800 marine mammals and sea turtles had swallowed or become entangled in plastic in U.S. waters between 2009 and 2020. And even the smallest of marine animals are ingesting microplastics. So we're finding plastic everywhere. It's not only floating on the sea surface, it's washing up on the world's most remote coastline, it's melting out of Arctic sea ice, and it's been found in rain in the Rocky Mountains. So we're finding it everywhere. It's definitely making an impact to animals in the ocean, but it's also ending up in our air and our food and our drinking water as well.
Well, we had a professor on from Utah State University several months ago, Professor Janice Braney, and she had recently published a study which confirmed that microfibers and microplastics are indeed just floating about in the atmosphere. She did it in national parks, looked for it in the soil, and ended up sampling it right out of the air. So like you say, Christy, it's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. And like you say, it's being ingested by all manner of animals, particularly, no size matters. The smallest animals can still ingest microplastics. And that can be a real problem for juveniles and adolescent animals and marine species that you're focused on.
That is all of that is correct. And one other piece that's important to think about when we're talking about plastic is, almost all plastic is made from fossil fuels. And so plastics are contributing to climate change. And in fact, the amount of climate change, greenhouse gases that plastics are contributing rivals that of many industrial nations. So in fact, if plastic were a country, it would be the fifth largest emitter of greenhouse gases.
All right, so now let's turn to what this bill is about or what it attempts to do. It's called the Break Free from Plastic Act. Can you give us some details about the bill?
You bet. And it's actually called the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act. So it's a lengthy name for the bill, but you've got the basic idea there. It is about breaking free from plastic. So around the world, we are seeing a lot of countries put in place national policies to reduce unnecessary single-use plastics, make an impact on the plastic crisis. But the U.S. is behind other countries. The good news is both that this bill has been introduced and that states and cities have been leading the way in the U.S. on tackling the plastic problem. And so what this bill does, which was introduced last week led by Senator Jeff Merkley from Oregon and Representative Alan Lowenthal from California, along with more than 90 of their colleagues in the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, it takes some of those best ideas from the state and local policies and puts them together into a comprehensive bill to improve public health and protect the planet. And some of the bigger picture ideas of what it does, it works to reduce plastic production before it even has a chance to pollute and protect frontline communities from the burden of plastic waste. And going into some of the details that you all mentioned, some things earlier, but just jumping into the specifics a little bit more, the bill phases out unnecessary single-use plastics. So these are plastics that aren't recyclable. They often end up polluting our beaches and coastlines. And these are things like plastic carryout bags and polystyrene foam food and drinkware, plastic utensils, and plastic stirrers. And it protects frontline communities by putting a temporary pause on new and expanded plastic production facilities until critical environmental and health protections are put in place. And it limits the plastic waste exports from the U.S. So rather than dealing with our waste at home, what the U.S. has been doing is we've been shipping our waste to other countries. And this bill would ensure that we no longer just ship our plastic waste to developing countries that can't manage it. And it also expands support for reusable and refillable systems, too.
We know that some of these materials that you're talking about as well, like the polystyrene food containers, also have direct impacts on human health because of some of the chemicals, right, that can kind of, enter the food that you're eating out of them, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a good number of toxic additives that have been added to plastic to make it work in a different way. And in fact, styrene is now a probable carcinogen. So by the World Health Organization has determined that. So there's a lot that's going on with plastics, and it does have a direct impact on human health too.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Christy Levitt. She's the Plastics Campaign Director for the nonprofit group Oceana, and we're talking about a bill recently reintroduced in Congress titled Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act. Who are the sponsors of the bill?
Yeah, so the lead sponsors of the bill are Senator Jeff Merkley from Oregon and Representative Alan Lowenthal from California. Representative Lowenthal spearheaded this bill last year along with another senator who retired, and Senator Merkley took up the mantle this year. And more than 90 of their colleagues in the House and Senate have already joined on to support the bill. So we're seeing a lot of interest from members of Congress on this issue and on making an impact on it.
Has there been bipartisan support for this at this point?
There is not. There's currently only Democrats and some independents support the bill. We are hopeful that some Republicans will also join on and support. And really, the dealing with plastic pollution should be a bipartisan issue. It impacts not only, as we've been talking about, not only all of our coastlines, but it impacts public health, it impacts the lands, it impacts our inland waters too. So we're hopeful that it can be a bipartisan bill, and it should definitely be a bipartisan issue.
But I suppose that those that oppose it say it also impacts the economy as far as the plastics production industry goes?
Yeah, the plastic industry is not in support of the bill. There are definitely ways that this bill will help build the economy in new ways. So there's tons of opportunity as we move towards refillable and reusable systems. So moving away from all the single-use plastic, we can move forward with having, whether it's foodware or bottles that are refillable and reusable. It's going a little bit back in time to where we once were, where, you know, whether it was our parents growing up or our grandparents growing up, if you had a soda bottle, you would take that glass soda bottle back and return it and get it that would be washed and refilled. We need more systems in place like that that aren't just relying on single-use plastics, but we actually then have refillable and reusable systems too. And this bill helps to move forward with those systems.
You mentioned earlier in the interview that, you know, the U.S. is kind of falling behind other countries on this. Other countries are implementing some measures to limit the use of single-use plastics. Can you share a few of those with us?
Sure. There's a good number of countries all around the world that nationwide have either banned plastic bags or put a fee on plastic bags. And some of the specifics of what other countries and regions are doing are in the European Union, and in 2018, the EU announced a phase out of single-use plastics by 2021. Okay. And they are tackling some of the plastics that are most commonly found washing up on their beaches, so dealing with plastic plates, cutlery, polystyrene food and beverage containers, other items like that. And each of the countries in the EU is now putting in place specific policies to implement that directive. In Canada, our neighbors to the north, Canada is moving forward on a strategy to reduce single-use plastics by the end of this year. They're targeting 6 different single-use plastics. We think they should do even more, but they are making steps targeting 6 specific single-use plastics. And then in Peru in 2018 as well, Peru passed a law regulating throwaway plastics, so they banned single-use plastics from sensitive areas like beaches and national parks. They taxed plastic bags, and they are limiting the manufacture and use of a broad swath of disposable plastics. So we're seeing this happening on, you know, say just about every continent that is populated, that we're seeing a lot of progress on single-use plastics, whether it's in South America, Africa, Asia, or Europe, or North America, too.
Wow. And like so many things, we, Nell and I, would talk about topics like this. It was always something like, well, they're doing do it by 2025, or we hope to have it by the end of this decade. No, these programs you're saying are like in place now, or are planned to be in place by the end of this year, right? The European Union 2021 ban on.
That is
ones.
Correct.
Wow.
Yes, that is correct. We're hitting the timelines. And then sadly, the U.S., you know, nationally hasn't done anything. As I mentioned earlier, the states and cities are doing a lot. And that is one of the exciting things about this bill as well. So on plastic bags, 8 states and more than 400 cities and counties have passed policies regulating plastic bags. And on polystyrene foam, so the foam foodware, more than 200 cities, along with 6 states, have passed bans on that sort of foodware. So there's definitely a lot of momentum on the local and state level, and we just need to bring that momentum to the federal level. And this bill pulls that all together, and is a good way for us to make an impact nationally too.
Right, we here in Park City banned single-use plastic bags on a limited scale a few years ago. Now it's been in place for 4 years. So the local supermarkets and larger drug stores here do not offer you a plastic bag. It's paper, or for probably 90% of us who live here, we bring in our own reusable bags. It wasn't difficult. It took a little bit of a learning curve.
We all needed to remember to bring those bags.
But you know, now it's just commonplace. It's just what we do. And we like to think that it made a difference. Fewer plastic bags floating around in our wetlands and in our forest and grasslands. And it works. People don't grouse as much about it anymore like they used to. And the businesses changed their model to phase out plastic bags. And now you pay a nickel or a dime for a paper bag, but that's also been, you know, part of the agreement to protect our environment. So this place, Park City, is an example of it being used, and I like to think being used successfully.
That is right, yes. And this would, you all are not alone.
Right.
So 400 plus cities have done the same thing, and we, this gives us the opportunity to take those types of bans and fees on bags nationally too. And you're showing that it works in Park City. Other states and cities have done the same thing, and now we need to do it across the country.
We've heard a fair amount about, you know, the plastic bag bans in, of course, Park City, as Chris referenced, and across the country and other cities. What are some of the other successful measures that you've seen taken on sort of that smaller municipality level across the country to limit our single-use plastics?
Yeah, so similarly, the limits on polystyrene foam foodware, those are... some of those are a little more recent than the plastic bag bans, but the limits on the foam foodware, so foam cups, foam clamshell packaging, when you get your takeout food, we're starting to see more and more of those. And we, I live in Washington, D.C., and here in Washington, D.C., we've had a foam ban in place for a few years now and have already seen a reduction in the amount of foam going into our local rivers and waterways. So we know these limits and reductions in single-use plastic work. We just need to take it to this bigger level, and now Congress has the opportunity to act on that.
All right, well, let's circle back to them. What are the chances of this bill getting passed?
So we definitely need national action on plastic, as we've been talking about. It is important for Congress to take action on these common sense solutions in the next 2 years. With the focus on climate from both the Biden administration and Congress, we need to ensure that action to reduce plastics is part of that. And I'm hopeful that Congress will take the opportunity now to work on this and pass the legislation over the next 2 years.
Well, what is interesting?
What
is interesting here in Utah, obviously a very red state, we've actually had support from Republican legislators who didn't necessarily agree with a ban on single-use plastics, but supported a town or a county's right to create and establish laws and ordinances banning single-use plastic. So basically they say, well, this is a crazy idea, but I support your town's right to pursue it. And that was an interesting take from an otherwise very, you know, Republican conservative mindset who support that you know, a town's right to make their own decisions.
Yeah, one piece that the bill does, too, is that it ensures that cities and states can continue to keep passing policies that are even stronger than the federal bill. So knowing that some cities and states might want to go even farther, it basically sets a federal floor of what the minimum amount of reduction in plastics needs to be, but then enables cities and states to continue to lead the way. And we definitely have seen as Oceana, we're working not only on the federal level issues here, but also on state and local policies too. Mm-hmm. The more local that we get, the more bipartisan this issue has been, and we're hopeful that builds up on the local, state, and federal level too.
Well, we have just a couple of minutes left, Christy, and we wanted to talk a little bit about Oceana, your organization. So just give us a quick profile of what it is you do and the work that you take on outside of what we've talked about today.
Well, so Oceana is the largest international advocacy organization dedicated solely to ocean conservation. And we work in North America, South America, Europe, and the Philippines to advocate for science-based policies that will restore the ocean's abundance and biodiversity. And Oceana has protected more than 2 million square miles of ocean habitat, and we've won 200-plus victories to stop overfishing, to stop habitat production, prevent pollution and the killing of threatened species. And so as the U.S. Plastics Campaign Director, I run our campaign here in the U.S. to reduce the production and use of single-use plastics. And I work with our skilled team of scientists, policy experts, lawyers, field organizers, and communication staff to run those successful campaigns. And so for me, I focus all of my time and effort on plastic pollution and work to, in particular, to tackle unnecessary single-use plastics.
And your website?
Oceana.org, so OCEANA.org.
Christy Levitt, she is the Plastics Campaign Director with the nonprofit Oceana. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat about this bill, and we'll follow it and hopefully have some updates on that.
That's right.
Thanks again, Christy.
Great, thanks so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.